Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Lord of Life. I'm Pastor Joel. It's my delight to welcome you to worship on this kickoff weekend. So whether you're here in the sanctuary or worshiping online, a word of welcome, and I'd like to extend a special word of welcome to anyone who is a guest with us today, or especially if this is your first time worshiping with Lord of Life. Thank you so much for your presence today. Several things. It is kickoff weekend, so we've got a lot going on, and I want to briefly touch on several items today. Today we launched the beginning of actually quite an extensive initiative called Discover Your Story, and what's most important for us to know today is that we have resources for us in this coming year as we focus on hearing the story. The main resource is a condensed chronological Bible called The Story. So this takes the biblical story, puts it into a chronological order, 31 chapters that we'll track along in worship, and you can get your copy of the story for just $7. You're not going to find a better deal than that on anything. That's like an iced caramel latte with oat milk at Starbucks. I mean, you get this whole thing, and this is going to last you at least all year and long beyond. So you get your copy here in the narthex, just outside as you leave the sanctuary. There's a table where you can buy your copy. Also available online at lordoflife.org. Along with that, we have our Lord of Life field guide. So if you buy a copy of the story, you get the first part of the field guide. The other two parts will be coming in the coming months. These are also available if you maybe already have a copy of the story. These are available for free, the field guide, and then also we have Discover Your Story bookmarks as well that are available kind of all around. So feel free to pick all of these things up as we journey through the story this year. I'll explain a little more later in worship just how the logistics work, but just know that this will root our worship experience every weekend. There'll be the opportunity for you, certainly on your own, to read through the story, for you to join a small group to discuss the story. Our Word for Women ministry will be journeying through the story, our men's Bible study, and so forth. Chapter 1, if you have that, that's what we'll be covering next week. So that's week 1. Think of today as week 0. Also, our church school will be journeying through the story as well. So if you're a parent or a grandparent and you have a child who will be in church school, just know if you're in worship and they're in church school, you're hearing the same story, so you'll have a lot to talk about the story. Today, however, everyone is invited to take part in our church school open house. So following worship, feel free to tour around, whether you're a student or a family with a student or just someone who's interested. Feel free to take a look around. There's balloon animals. How can you go wrong with balloon animals? So that's available. So, you know, grab your donut and coffee or lemonade and take a tour of our church school. Then also a reminder that each Sunday morning as well, looking ahead to next week, we'll have professionally staffed childcare available for all children between birth and 2 years old. Our confirmation ministry gets kicking off next week, and so if you have a middle school student and have yet to do so, you can register. lordoflife.org is where you can register for this and everything else. A few other things. One thing to for sure put on your calendar is next Saturday's Food Truck Festival. We'll be hosting it. Pastor Caitlin is woo-hooing. She won't stop woo. Would someone like to sit next to her? She keeps woo-hooing like all the time. So I'll trade spots. But anyway, next Saturday, 4 to 7:30 in the parking lot, we'll have a bunch of different food trucks, a bounce house, all sorts of games, a lot of fun. Pastor Caitlin, along with woo-hooing, promises perfect weather. So we got that going for us as well. Invite your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Maybe you've got a neighbor who maybe you're not quite sure if what kind of person they are. Just see if they come, and then they'll have fun, and then maybe they'll mow your lawn for you when you're out of town next summer, because they like the Food Truck Festival so much. Also, we're looking for folks who can help out during the Food Truck Festival. There'd still be time for you, of course, to enjoy it as well, but looking for volunteers, and just to incentivize the deal, to sweeten the deal a little bit, if you volunteer, you get a free Lord of Life t-shirt. We're going to call it an exclusive t-shirt because that makes you want it more, right? That's marketing 101. So, and who among us doesn't like a free t-shirt? So you can go lordoflife.org/foodtruck to sign up because, of course, many hands make light work. couple other notes just going on today. If you came in the east doors by the sanctuary, you saw that the community garden is selling some excess produce. Although the announcement up here says it's near the service center, it's actually a lot closer. You don't have to walk to the other side of the building, just outside where the glass doors are here. You can pick up some fresh produce, and all the money goes to our ministry partners of Cross and Gethsemane Lutheran Church. Also, for anyone involved or interested in scouting, there's a table in the narthex about the Scouting with God program as well. So you can check that out if you'd like. LordofLife.org, that's the place to go to learn everything else God is doing in and through this community. At this point, I want to offer a few words of thanks. Thanks to my colleagues, Pastor Dave and Pastor Caitlin, for leading. Is it God? Are we doing okay? So, thanks to our musicians, David Frank for leading us on the piano, the Canticle Choir under the direction of Derek Craig. We have the Lord of Life Brass under the direction of Mike Larson. Thank you all so much for your gift. Thanks to everyone who's serving behind the scenes. Thank you for making this worship experience a part of your weekend. And most importantly, thanks be to God for the gift of this community and quite simply for the gift of life. So let's stand together and sing God's praises through song.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, Almighty
Let us pray. Gracious God, in love you have created us, and in love you sustain us day after day. So it is with confidence that we bring our prayers and our worship to you, knowing that you hear us and will respond. Let us discover our story, interwoven throughout your abiding story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Because
Today's first reading is from Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness.
Thank you, Diana. I invite you to please stand as you're able. This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then Jesus sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Our head AV tech, Fred, spent a lot of his life and career as a touring musician. If you want to hear great stories, just sit and talk to Fred for a little bit. But he recently shared one story that he said I could share with you. So one of Fred's friends, who was in another band, was playing a show one night. And as this band was getting set up, someone who was in attendance to the show came up to Fred's friend and just to see, you know, if he could get a request onto the set list. So the guy came up to Fred's friend and said, "Hey, when your band plays tonight, can you play that song Slow Motion Walter?" And Fred's friend thought and then said, "Well, Slow Motion Walter, we don't know that song." And the guy was kind of surprised and he said, "Huh, well, I thought everyone knew that song. It goes like this."
Slow motion, Walter.
That's what the guy thought the song was, but we know it as Smoke on the Water. You don't need to hide your fandom of Deep Purple here. There are a lot of misunderstood song lyrics, lots of stories to go with them. Another famously misunderstood song lyric was highlighted in the TV show Friends many years ago by the character Phoebe, who thought that Elton John in one of his classics was singing this.
Softly, slowly, Tony Danza.
Not actually a song about a future Who's the Boss star. Elton John was singing Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer. You got it. You got it. And mishearing lyrics is not just something for classic rock. There's a more recent, often misunderstood lyric. It's actually a little controversial, so people can kind of get heated about this. But the artist of this song, you know, says that the lyrics are one thing, but people claim that they hear another. And this is from a Taylor Swift song called Blank Space.
'Cause we're young and we're reckless, we'll take this way too far, and I'll leave you breathless, or with a nasty scar. All the lonely Starbucks lovers.
Which isn't what Taylor Swift claims that she sings. I don't know, Dana, you've been to the concerts. I thought you'd wear the t-shirt, but how about a word of appreciation for Dana and David? I think they'll do a show with these songs a little bit later. So just to be clear, Taylor Swift says that the line is got a long list of ex-lovers. It has nothing to do with coffee enthusiasts that have broken hearts. So I wonder if the disciples thought they'd misheard what Jesus said at the conclusion of today's gospel. If they said, you know, did I hear that right? So to recap, Jesus asks his disciples two questions. The first is just the warm-up question, where Jesus asks, who do people say that the Son of Man is? This is just Jesus warming up the disciples as they report back what people out there were saying about Jesus. And then he asks the second question, the real question, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, he enthusiastically says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Which is a revolutionary answer. Jesus affirms this response. He blesses Simon Peter and proclaims that the church of Christ will be built on this rock of faith. But then we hear that Jesus sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Tell no one? Did we hear that right? Well, yeah. Jesus said it, and perhaps the shocking part is that he meant it. Don't tell anyone. Well, clearly somebody told, because we wouldn't have this story, we wouldn't have this church otherwise. What this gets our minds going to is an understanding that context matters. Context matters. Because we can take a single verse of Scripture in isolation and completely misunderstand and distort its meaning. It can even go against what it's saying. Because we could just take this verse and say, well, Jesus said not to tell anyone, so my lips are sealed. Which is a Go-Go song, by the way, but we're not going to sing that one. But the thing is, later on, at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells his followers to go and tell everyone. Because context matters. Which is why the story will be so valuable for us in these coming months. We'll have the chance to read the Bible and to read it literately, to understand how these different genres of books that are compiled into a library work together. How these books, composed over thousands of years by many different hands, work together, and how we can responsibly read it. We'll take a journey through the grand sweep of God's enduring love. We'll be able to ask our big questions. We're going to wrestle with some really hard biblical stories. So like I said, some of the logistics, that resource, the story, the book, it's 31 chapters to correspond with 31 weeks in worship. That'll give shape to our worship every weekend. There are small groups that you'll be able to join to go deeper. You can certainly go deeper on your own. Our church school will be engaging these same stories. you've got the book, you can read the chapter in advance of the weekend or in reflection from the weekend. So if next week is chapter one, you can read chapter one this week or wait until after next weekend to read it in reflection. The schedule is in the field guide that is available out there in the narthex and online for you. I also want you to know that each week there will be an extended, deeper teaching of each coming weekend's texts that will be available starting Wednesday afternoons, or Wednesdays in the afternoon. So you can go to lordoflife.org, and as an individual or your small group can have this deeper dive that's available online. So you're going to get a better understanding of who God is, or why God matters, even a better understanding of who you are and why you matter. So as we pivot back to the gospel reading, the disciples, you see, they had expectations of just what sort of Messiah would come. When you talked about the Messiah in that day and age, there was kind of a picture that came to mind, or attributes of who the Messiah was assumed to be. One of those is that the Messiah would come in the line of King David, which Jesus was. But also on that mental map, there's this idea that the Messiah would be a conquering king, a sort of military leader who would use violence and vengeance to lead a select group of people to victory. But that's not the kind of Messiah Jesus came to be. That's not the Christ we meet in Scripture. As we hear the story this year, we will learn how the kingship came to be, how Jesus is in that line. We'll learn what God's real intentions for the Israelites, for God's chosen people, what those were and are. We'll learn how the people responded both faithfully and unfaithfully to their relationship with God. We'll learn what God did in response, and so much more. And as we start, it's important for us to know this, that Jesus is the clearest picture of God we have. Jesus is the clearest picture of God we have. That's something we as Christians claim. And I don't say that to undermine other faith traditions, but what it does is give our tradition a distinctive viewpoint. It gives us something to work with and to work on. Because if we keep reading in the Gospel of Matthew, right after Jesus instructs his disciples not to tell anyone that he's the Messiah, we continue in Matthew 16 at verse 21, and we read, "From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." This is not the Messiah the disciples were expecting. They thought the Messiah would come and kill, not be killed. And then, as if on cue, after hearing this unsettling image of who Jesus came to be, we hear that Simon Peter, the very same one who had just proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus is taken aside by Simon Peter. And Simon Peter rebukes Jesus. He scolds Jesus for saying these things. So the thing is, the disciples did not misunderstand what Jesus said when he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. They misunderstood what kind of Messiah he came to be. So when Jesus told them not to tell anyone, it simply meant that they weren't ready to tell yet. They first had to learn about what kind of Messiah Jesus came to be before they could share that news. So Jesus wasn't giving an eternal commandment here of don't tell anyone ever. He's simply saying don't tell anyone yet. Jesus was teaching them. It's kind of like a med school, you know, a med school student. They're not scheduled for surgery after a week of classes. Someone who's learning to be a mechanic has to be trained first how to repair cars before they get their wrench. And I'm pretty sure you want your stylist to have been through cosmetology school before being set loose on your hair, right? Then one of the next things that Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 16 is what we hear in verse 24 when he says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Which again was groundbreaking and unexpected, a crucified Messiah with humble followers. It didn't compute because the disciples still had to learn. And the thing is, we have the invitation to learn as well. It's what we heard in our first reading today from Romans 12, this invitation from Paul when he writes, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, we're all invited to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which includes education and clarification, and includes very significantly a change in expectations, because Jesus comes and challenges the status quo of who the Messiah would be, the status quo of how the Messiah would act and treat others, the status quo of how the world operates, and even the status quo idea of just who it is that God saves. Which then, as our minds are transformed, it means that our lives look different as a result. We are not conformed to the world around us, but we walk out of step with the world to show that God offers a different and better way of life. Conformity, though, conformity seems to provide a lot of comfort, because the world tells us not to act differently, not to act outside the norm, because if you do, there's a chance you're going to get called a weirdo. Is anyone here familiar with this literary masterpiece called Watch Out for These Weirdos? Oh, none of you. I get to share it. This is all new. How exciting. There might be a reason it didn't catch on, but I don't know. I think there's something to this. So it's an old children's book by Rufus Klein, illustrations by Nancy Carlson. The narrator begins the story by saying, in case you move into my neighborhood, watch out for these weirdos. And then what he does in the course of the rest of the story is he gives a rundown of them all, kind of sharing the bio of all of his neighborhood weirdos. So for instance, there's Tatlin Madeline Brown. We learn that she's 8 years old. Her height and weight, well, she doesn't know her own, but she knows everybody else's. Her hair, she never brushes it because she's too busy telling on people. Her eyes are always looking to get you in trouble. Her favorite saying is, I'm gonna tell. And there's more, but this is Madeline, who's always tattling. So, all right. And then there's Anthony Tony Baloney Wells, age 9. His height is a foot shorter than whatever he says. His hair is always combed the way he says the big shots do it. His eyes are always seeing things that aren't there. His favorite saying is, ah, that's nothing. Wait till you hear this. So this is Tony, who's full of baloney. He may be using some dating apps today. Maybe. I don't know. So then there's this picture after all of the neighborhood weirdos are shown of all of them together. And, you know, I actually think slow motion Walter might fit in there someplace. But then the story ends with the narrator saying, but don't say anything bad about them because they're my friends. Because they're my friends. If we're willing not to be conformed to this world, we can be seen as weirdos. But Lord of Life is a community where weirdos are welcome, where you are valued as a unique and uniquely gifted child of God. And the closing of our Romans reading today highlights the value of each and every one of us, of each and every weirdo here. Paul writes, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. You have gifts. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. We're all in this together as the one body of Christ. You have important gifts for the sake of the world. And since we're not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, then we live with cooperation, not competition, with compassion, not cutthroat dealings, with kindness, not meanness. We live with peace, joy, love, and faith. You know those sorts of things that seem to be in short supply in the world around us? You see, this year has the potential for your faith to be strengthened, for this community to grow deeper and wider, for your understanding of God to expand, for your relationship with the God made known in Christ to grow closer, for you to connect and make friends among the Lord of Life community, for your daily life to be more meaningful and have a clearer purpose. And I say this without exaggeration, this year has the potential to make the world a better place. Because that's the potential and the power we have in hearing the story. There's potential for your life and the world to be transformed by Jesus Christ. Because there is grace in this story. Forgiveness, healing, hope, love, joy for you. Yeah, even for a weirdo like you. And for all the weirdos around you too. And by the time our journey through the story is complete, I think you will have your own response to Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" And you will know that you hear him right when Jesus says who you are. You are beloved, and Jesus calls you friend. Amen.
I'm not afraid of the dark. Please stand as you are able as together we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, in all of God's good creation. God of grace, your mercy abounds and love overflows. Transform our hearts and minds as we discern where you are leading. Fill your church with faith, humility, and compassion, strengthening our relationships and communities. Lord, in your mercy, your creation groans as it suffers the impact of pollution and lack of care. As the seasons change, renew in us the will to protect plants, animals, and habitats. Bless us with a bountiful harvest that all may share. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the nations of the world. Teach wisdom to our elected leaders so that we may know peace in our world, peace in our homes, and peace in our hearts. We mourn as we remember how the world changed on September 11th, 2001. Heal the wounded, grant strength to the weak, and give compassion to help each other and recognize needs around the world. Lord, in your mercy. Your steadfast love endures forever and is faithfully present for those who look to you for hope and healing. Bless doctors, nurses, social workers, therapists, and all caregivers. Draw near to those who are scared, sick, anticipating surgery, in recovery or rehab, or in pain. We especially pray for Liz Knutson, Sue Kapsner, Larry Benedict, Deb Morse, Don Clark, Marianne Kreft, and Tess Schrader. Mourning with those who mourn, we lift up all who are grieving this day, including Wendy Weigel and family at the death of her husband, Dan and Stacy Olescu and family at the death of their son, Jeff and Sue Hawk and family at the death of Jeff's mother, and all those who mourn the death of Queen Elizabeth II. Lord, in your mercy. Your work is done through this congregation with our hands, feet, voices, minds, and hearts. Build up the ministries of this community that we serve our neighbors and welcome the stranger in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Gathered together in one body through the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share a word of peace with those around you.
You may be seated. It's so fun to hear the passing of the peace. Oh, it's hard to break that up. This week we want to celebrate the awesome summer programming our children, youth, and family ministry had this year. From vacation Bible school to summer stretch, from summer camp to mission trips, kids of all ages were able to build friendships and grow in their faith this summer. And the fun isn't stopping there. Kicking off next weekend, we have church school, C3 confirmation classes, and volunteer training. All of this is made possible because of your generous giving, which gives us the resources we need to help train and equip leaders and to create this wonderful space. So we thank you so much for your generosity. Giving can be done in any of the ways listed on the screen, including the passing of the plates that will happen in just a moment. If online or text to give makes sense for you and your family, please feel free to pull out your phone as an act of worship. Again, thank you so much for your generosity.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able for the offering response. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Children of God, loved beyond measure, sent to serve the world.